Good evening. If you want to go ahead and turn back over to Hosea, where our reading was at. We're going to look at the first three chapters and a little bit of verses throughout. It's an interesting book and story of Hosea and some relationships, a relationship that he had with God, that Israel had with God, that Hosea had with his wife Gomer. And I think there's some points that we can gain from that. Hosea paints a picture of doom for Israel. And that's what the last few chapters of Hosea is, from about chapter 4 through 14, is him telling them of their sin and telling them that they are doomed, that God is going to destroy them for that. He addressed the northern kingdom about their sinful nature. He was probably a contemporary during Isaiah's time and Amos's time, teaching to the northern tribes in Judea. He was a son of Beri, and his wife, as mentioned, her name was Gomer. And the first three chapters of Hosea point out the relationship that Hosea had with Gomer. And so he uses that to springboard into teaching the Israelites about their relationship with God and how similar it was. And so Gomer was a wife of harlotry. Look at Hosea chapter 1 and verse 2. When the Lord first spoke through Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, "Go, take yourself a wife of harlotry. Have children of harlotry, for the land commits flagrant harlotry, forsaking the Lord." Tells him to go and take a wife of harlotry. As mentioned, these first three chapters, they show the tragedy in the life of Hosea and what this relationship has done to him. Gomer, maybe at first she wasn't involved with it, but she soon became involved with adultery, or as it mentions here, harlotry. Being unfaithful, she left Hosea many times and played the harlot with many different lovers. What's interesting is the way God talks to Hosea and how Hosea is instructed to react to Gomer's sinful nature, sinful lifestyle. God's commanded Hosea to do something. And that was read in chapter 3. God told Hosea to buy her back, to spend that money, to buy her back, to love her again, as he had once done in the beginning of that marriage. And that's in chapter 3 in verse 1 that was read. "Go again, love a woman who is loved by her husband, yet an adulteress, even as the Lord loves the sons of Israel, though they turn to other gods and love raisin cakes." He starts here in chapter 3 to say, Israel, you are the harlot as well. You have turned away from God many times, and loved the things of this land. Turn back to Him. And that's what God had told Hosea to do with his wife, is turn back to her and love her again. Buy her back. And so he did that in verses 2 and 3 of chapter 3 that was read. He did as he commanded. He went and bought her and spent that money. This tragedy that we read, that we can, I'm not going to spend the time and go through it, but I think chapter 3 kind of points out the gist of what the first couple chapters were. This betrayal, this playing the harlot. I think that's what I'd like to base our lesson on tonight. I'd like for us to consider that in our lives, in our relationship with God. Hosea recognized in his own life events what he was experiencing, that this is what Israel was doing to their Lord. The same was what Gomer was doing to him. It was through his deep sorrow, his suffering, that Hosea experienced something that he would not have been enabled to know or experience beforehand if he had not gone through this himself. And so that put him in a prime position to teach. That put him in a great position to prophesy, to teach the Israelites about how they have turned their back against God, and God is reaching out for them and wanting to buy them back. He understood something about God's immeasurable love. The love that God had for Israel, the love that he was told to have for Gomer. even though she had committed so much sin against him and against God. I want to introduce the idea tonight that we are the harlot. We are the harlot. We are the ones that have turned our back against God many, many times. In the case of Hosea and Gomer, in the case of God and Israel, we are the sinners. How many times have we turned away from our Master? How many times have we sinned, separating ourselves from the blessings of our Lord? How much grace does God have to welcome us back, to invite us back upon that repentance? Are we blind to the fact that our harlotry will lead to our destruction? So this evening, I just want to put ourselves in the shoes of Gomer, put ourselves in the shoes of Israel. We are the harlot. We have fallen short of God's glory. In Romans 3:23, we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We have loved the things of this world over and over again. But there is good news. There is hope for us. There is hope, just as there was hope for Gomer. Before we jump into the points that I want to point out, I've got 5 points that I want to glean from the message here in Hosea. But I'd want to talk a little bit about the religious setting in Hosea. What was it like during the time of when Hosea was prophesying to these people? What made them turn away from God? Well, Jeroboam the first was the one that introduced the idol worship to them, the calf worship. Ahab and Jezebel, they led the people to worship Baal. Hosea summarized the problems of Israel into one word, harlotry. That's how he described Israel's sin, Israel's problem, just as he had done with Gomer. Israel had joined herself, as in a marriage, to all these false gods, to Baal and the many other gods that were introduced to them. Just as a prostitute, just as a harlot would join herself to many men. Chapter 2 and verse 5. For their mother has played the harlot. She who conceived them has acted shamefully. For she said, I will go after many lovers who give me my bread, my water, my wool, my flax, my oil, and my drink. She went after the things that she desired, the things that she wanted. And so she would act in any shameful way to get that. In verses 12 and 13 of that chapter, I will destroy her vines and fig trees, of which she said, these are my wages, which my lovers have given me. I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field will devour them. I will punish her for the days of the Baals, when she used to offer sacrifices to them, and adorn herself with her earrings and jewelry, and follow her lovers, so that she forgot me. She had joined herself, Gomer had joined herself to these other men so much that she had forgotten who Hosea was. And that's what Hosea was pointing out to Israel, is that they have left and followed these gods so much that they don't even know who God is anymore. The problems of Israel summarized into one word, harlotry. These are a list of the sins that Hosea pointed out in chapters 4 and following. I'm not going to go read all these, but this is a good list, a lack of knowledge. And this is one of our points that I want to bring out in just a few minutes. That this lack of knowledge, it's a lack of understanding of who God is and what God has asked for us to do. They were involved in idolatry in chapter 8, verse 4, and chapter 13, verse 2. Other sins, revolts. They were revolted against God. They revolted against the Lord in chapter 5 and verse 2 and 9 and 15. They were full of pride. Full of pride. Chapter 5 and verse 5. They thought about themselves, just as we read in these two passages about Gomer. That she went after the things that she wanted. Her earrings, her jewelry. They transgressed the covenant. God's laws, God's covenants, chapter 6, verse 7, and chapter 7 and verse 13, they were transgressing the covenant. And also in 7:13, they spoke lies against God. They lied to God. They lied about God. And also, Hosea pointed out that they were continually turning back from God. Continually, over and over again. They committed a sin of going into the world and serving the Baals. Look at this list. Do we recognize any of these sins today? Have we committed any sins similar to these today? I would guess, I know I have committed some of these, that we could be guilty of any of these. We could be guilty of a lack of understanding and knowledge of God. We could be guilty of idolatry or pride. Israel played the harlot so much that she had forgotten who her God really was. In chapter 8 and verse 12. Chapter 8 and verse 12. Though I wrote for him 10,000 precepts of my law, they are regarded as a strange thing. When the law was presented before them, it was strange. It was a foreign idea. It was something they had not thought of before. That's how deep into sin they had gotten, that they had forgotten the laws of God. They knew nothing about Him. They didn't understand Him anymore. Homer Haley, in the book A Commentary on the Minor Prophets, had a quote in there, says, "The picture painted in the book of Hosea is truly that of a nation in decay." And I think that same thing could happen to us today in our world in which we live in. The decay, the religious revolt that is going on today, that is evident, is truly a nation of decay. Hosea's message. What was Hosea trying to teach to these people? What was his job? What was he trying to do? Mentioned chapters 1 through 3, Hosea relates his personal experience with Gomer to teach Israel about God's feelings toward them in the midst of their spiritual adultery. He used that experience to teach Israel that they were separated from God, they were not serving Him any longer, and that they needed to repent. An example of this is evident in the first couple chapters here in the names of his children. Gomer had three children for Hosea, the two boys and one daughter. Jezreel was the name of the first boy. And this, God named him Jezreel, implying that God would punish Jehu and his people for the bloodshed of Jezreel. Going back to 2 Kings, I believe, and some of the bloodshed that had been there, that when this idolatry was introduced. Jezreel, that was the name of one of his sons. God is going to punish them. And then his daughter was born. Her name was Lo Ruhamah, if I can pronounce that correctly. Literally, it means no mercy. No mercy. His daughter was named No Mercy. Before too long, Assyria was going to come and take them captive. And this possibly was prophesying of that time to come. And then his third child, his second boy, Lo Ami, literally means, not my people. Not my people. I don't think any of us would name our children any of these names today. But this pointed out that these were children of a harlot. And that's what God was pointing out, that the Israel, these things prophesying of Israel, that they were playing the harlot. They were seeking other gods over the one true Lord. In chapter 2 and verse 23, "I will sow her for myself in the land. I will have compassion on her who had not obtained compassion. I will say to those who are not my people, you are my people. And they will say, you are my God." God is seeking for them to come back to Him. He will take His people back. He will claim His people again if they will repent of their sin and turn back to their Lord. He will say, you are my people, if we will say, we are his, or he is our God. So Hosea was instructed to take Gomer back as a symbol of God's mercy to Israel. Chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. For the sons of Israel will remain for many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred pillar, without ephod or household idols. Afterward, the sons of Israel will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and they will come trembling to the Lord and to his goodness in the last days. So chapters 4 through 14, as pointed out, is Hosea's purpose is to awaken Israel, to awaken that northern tribe, to awaken them out of their harlotry, to bring them back to God. And then if they weren't going to do that, during that time, he was announcing their doom to them. We kind of get a good background of what Hosea was about. What's our lesson? What's our lesson? 5 points. The first one is a steadfast love of the Lord. We see through the actions of Hosea to Gomer that he was continually to love her. We see the actions of God in the relationship to Israel, who turned their back against him, that he continued to love them. His love was steadfast. An example of this is in Hosea chapter 11, verses 1 through 4, and verse 8 and 9. The steadfast love of God. When Israel was a youth, I loved him. Out of Egypt, I called my son. The more they called them, the more they went from them. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and burning incense to idols. See the grief there, that he loved them from when they were young, but yet they kept continuing to serve and sacrifice to idols and Baal. Verse 3, yet it is I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them in my arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of a man, with bonds of love. I became to them as one who lifts the yoke from their jaws. I bent down to feed them. The idea that God has stooped as low as he could go, he's come all the way down to us to feed us, to feed Israel, is what he was doing. Yet they kept turning back away from him. How far does God have to go? How much love does God have to show for us to want to love him back? Verses 8 and 9. How can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I surrender you, O Israel? How can I make you like Adma? How can I treat you like Zebulun? My heart is turned over within me. All my compassions are kindled. I will not execute my fierce anger. I will not destroy Ephraim again. For I am God and not man, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come in wrath. He did not want to punish them. He did not want to put an end to them, to destroy them. But you get the idea that he's almost at his last string. This is the last straw. How much further? How can I love you anymore? Why won't you love me back? I am God, not man. In Lamentations chapter 3, in the song that we sing sometimes, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Chapter 3 of Lamentations, verse 22 and 23. In Hebrews 6 and verse 19 through 20, this hope we have is an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. This hope we have is an anchor, both sure and steadfast, Jesus Christ. The steadfast love of God is here for us as well. He still loves his people. He still loves us. He still wants us to be his. He doesn't want to destroy us, but he is a just God. The second point, God is first to react in dealing with us. And dealing with our sins and dealing with our problems and our relationship with Him, He is first to react to it. In the case of Gomer, in the case of us, in the case of Israel, there is one word that conveys a wonderful comfort and hope. And that is grace. And we talk about that a little bit this morning in Bible class. Grace is that unmerited favor. God's first action, reaction in dealing with us. God is extending that grace to us. God is acting first. We have to accept it. We have to accept that grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Ephesians 2, 5 through 8. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that in the ages to come, He might show the surpassing riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. We have been made alive again. We have been saved because of that grace. Because God is acting first. He is wanting to bring us back. And that's the message that Hosea was teaching to Israel. God is ready for you to return. Repent of your sins. What we deserve is eternal damnation. But God is offering us salvation through His grace. Our third point, the reality and enormity of sin. When we realize how big sin is, and not necessarily on a scale of one sin's more important or less important than another sin, but the fact that it separates us from God, when we realize that, when we realize that it's our doom, it will bring us to our destruction, when we realize that it is real, we need to react to that. The true love of God sees us for who we truly are, sinners, as harlots, playing the harlot. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. When we realize how enormous that is, that sin will bring about death. Death is what sin deserves. Gomer, Israel, they deserved death. God was willing to reach out His hand to them. Isaiah 59, verse 2. But the iniquities have made a separation between you and God. Our iniquities, our sins separate us. Your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not hear you. When we realize the reality of sin, that it separates us from God, it separates us from His eternal blessings as well. The wages of sin is death. We need to realize that sin is real. And if we have sin in our lives, we need to rid that. Two more points. Point four, a major problem that Israel had during Hosea's prophesying was that they were rejecting knowledge. They were rejecting knowledge, the understanding of who God is. And this was Israel's basic problem. They didn't understand God. They had left Him so many times. They didn't understand who He was. They didn't know Him any longer. They didn't want to know Him. They revolted as we looked at some of the sins that they had committed against their God. Israel and Gomer both had this problem with their spouse. They rejected their spouse. And Christ and His church, His spouse, are we rejecting Him? Are we rejecting the knowledge, the true knowledge that can save us? One of the problems was that in Hosea's time was the priests. They stopped teaching the concepts, the precepts of the law. They stopped telling them, stopped teaching them. And therefore, the knowledge began to dwindle of who God was. It led to the end of their priestly line, of the Levitical line. God put an end to that because they had failed their duty. Let's not forget God's laws. Let's not forget God's laws. James 1 and verse 21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness and humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. With humility, receive that word. Receive that word implanted within us. It can save our souls. Let's not forget God's laws. Let's continually approach the throne of grace, as in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let's not forget to approach God in our prayer life, in our meditation on His Scriptures, and wanting to understand and have a better knowledge of Him. Let's approach that throne of grace. And let's humbly submit and walk with our God. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, "You are sons of light, now start acting like sons of light and get out of darkness. Walk as sons of light." Paraphrasing a little bit. But walk as sons of light. Let's humbly submit to our Lord, just as Hosea was begging for Israel to do. And then our fifth point, repentance must precede renewal. For us to be renewed, for us to have a clean heart again, we must repent. We must repent of that. Back over in Hosea in chapter 14 this time. Verses 1 and 2. Hosea begs them, says, "Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to Him, 'Take away my iniquity and receive us graciously, that we may present the fruit of our lips.'" The idea here is that Hosea is saying you have to recognize that you are in sin, that you have separated yourself from God. You need to go to God. You need to ask for that forgiveness. Take away my iniquity. Receive us graciously. When we recognize that we are the harlot, we are the ones sinning, when we are the ones separated ourselves from our love, from our God, we need to take action and ask for repentance from that, and to ask for Him to graciously receive us again. God is ready to buy us back, just in the case of Hosea and Gomer. We must be sanctified. We must be cleansed before He will take us, before He will let us be His spouse again. Ephesians 5, verse 25 through 27. "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself up for her, so that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the Word, that He might present to Himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless." Before He could present the church, He first had to sanctify her. He first had to cleanse her. We need to be sanctified. We need to be cleansed. We need to be washed of that. In conclusion, Hosea provides us with an eloquent expression of God's mercy, of God's steadfast love towards us. It involves loving us so much that He will keep all covenants and all commitments that He has made to us. He's going to keep them. He is true to them, even when we turn our back to Him. His love is extended to us, but we must first deny ourselves and take up that cross. Admit our sin, admit our guilt, Ask for that forgiveness. Be cleansed. Be sanctified. Hosea's marriage vow is a great illustration to us today. God is willing to buy us back. He's willing to take us out of the harlotry. God's faithful love would not permit him to easily divorce Israel. He had all right to do that, to destroy them for the hate that they had toward him. But his love, his faithful love, kept that relationship. We are the ones that leave the relationship, and he is the one asking us to come back. And let's make sure we don't separate ourselves from the lust of this world and serve our Lord. If we don't serve him, the message of doom that Hosea spoke to the Israelites is that same message that we are going to hear. In chapter 9 and verse 17, our last verse. Chapter 9, verse 17, the first part of it, "My God will cast them away because they have not listened to him." The laws that we need to follow, the commandments, the gospel of Christ, if we don't listen to it, he will cast us away. And there will be wonders among the nations, the end of verse 17 there. The good news is that God's faithful love to us will receive us back again. If we have sinned, if we have played the harlot, as in the case of Israel, as in the case of Gomer, we can be renewed. We can be cleansed again. God is welcoming us back into his fold. I encourage all of us to think about these thoughts tonight, to continue to reflect upon God's message, to not forget God, to not live in sin so long that we forget who God truly is. If there's anyone tonight that has not responded to the gospel, who have not committed themselves to the Lord yet, the opportunity stands before you. The time is now. Hosea's message of doom and gloom was imminent. It was pressing upon them. That time of Assyria coming in and taking them captive was very soon approaching. Judgment Day is soon for us as well. We have an opportunity now, right now, to respond to God. His grace is reaching out for us if we will just take that, if we will just repent of our sins. If you're here tonight and we can help you in any way, come as we stand, as we sing.
Leaving my sin and crime. Supper, for those who did not have the opportunity this morning would like to do so now, will you please let me know by raising your hand? Yeah.